So hello everybody, and thanks Uncle Ty for your connection and the importance of connecting to country and to people. That's part of our Indigenous protocol, and that's really important for us as a collective. And I noticed Uncle Ty said he was from the Burdekin area as well, and I'm a little bit north of that, Mount Elliot to Townsville, which is the Bindle area. But we also speak Birragabba language. The important part of any introduction, of course, is really also thanks to Michelle. I really appreciate that, Michelle, and to all the people I see. And I really appreciate the actual opportunity to have a bit of a discussion. One of the first things we always do, and I want to make sure that I do that, we acknowledge the traditional owners whose lands we all on, each one of us, and in particular here, I'm actually not only from Bindaljuru, but I'm also, my place here is now, or Brisbane is now my home, but my country, traditional country, is that area. We acknowledge the elders, family and forebearers of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people of the Australian continent, islands and adjacent seas, who remain spiritual, cultural custodians of this land and waters, who continue to practice their values, languages, beliefs and customs. And I think that's a part of those really important protocols. I'm here to talk in general about Indigenous relationship to country and the importance of what that relationship is about. And often when we talk about connecting, and I really like to listen continuously to Professor Lowe. I think he's quite an incredible wealth of knowledge and the way he presents his information. We're not too far separate from that sort of conversation around the importance of landscape and seeing everything that's been happening in Australia. We've seen it over many, many years, and traditionally we watched it just be destroyed over generations, and that generations have been passed down, and even my grandfathers and my father's mob also talk about how that is. And I spent a lot of time in remote regions and with traditional owners and elders about looking after country and what that might look like and how translating the value or the look of country and the importance of that into our everyday lives. One of the difficult things, of course, is that most of the stuff when we're talking with protected areas or they are just small parts of a larger landscape, as Professor talked about. And the importance of landscape is really critical. We see landscape as home. It's a home and a location, and that location, and Professor talked also about the landscapes, and he's put up a number of maps. We see that. We've seen that for generation after generation. Some of us have experiences in terms of having that connection to country, but also there are many, many of our mob that don't have that connection. So they too have, like a large population, have a disconnect around landscape. And that is a problem, I guess. And so what we're trying to do is get an understanding about what the landscape looks like. When we talk about landscape, we also talk about the importance of what we're looking for. There's a lot of signs, and we have a lot of, some of us are practitioners in many ways. We are knowledge holders. We have practice certain things. We have a very multiple disciplined view of landscape. So it's just not one discipline. It's not the wildlife. It's not just the biodiversity. It's not the microbes specifically. We have a connection to each of those, but that's a learning over a long, long period of time. My learning has been over 50 years. which scares the life out of me because I didn't think I was that old. But I've learnt from when I was a young fella about what it is. And with Uncle Ty's country and how that works, if you look at the landscape, you look at the sites, you look at the land, the vegetation, the rivers, the creeks, it all tells a story. And people are so disconnected from that. We don't see what it is that we need to see. And so we see the destruction of the landscape and what that mosaic, destructive mosaic around is, it's really disheartening to some extent. And knowing that there's going to be more buildings and more construction is really very difficult to swallow, because we've watched country just be destroyed for growth and economics. We get all that. The reality is that we're trying to also look at how we can best manage country. And when we look at seasons, we look at a variety of different seasons. So we see the species, the birds, the animals. We see it tells a story every time, every season. The seasons are getting longer. The seasons are getting drier. Birds of we're losing our biodiversity, and absolutely. And Professor Lowe talked about losing our biodiversity. We see that every single day. And we watch that self-destruction to a point where we get sad about what's happening, in just locally, not just also nationally, and then broadly, because we're in one biosphere, and that's planet Earth. And we all got to try and play our part in terms of what we can do on a local level. So when we look at plants, for instance, we look at the continuum. It is one continuum when we're looking at landscape. When we start to break up that continuum, that landscape becomes sick, and we can see that sickness. That sickness manifests itself into a whole different sets of different makeups, like Professor Lowe's talked about. It's weeds, it's dry soils, it's the absence of native wildlife, it's prolonged dryness in the landscape. We're not good at listening. We are good at studying, but we're not good at listening. How do we actually change the way our behaviours and our patterns of behaviours? We can't get, and we continue to say we've got to do something about this. And but as First Nations people, when we talk about looking after country, it's not a job, it's an obligation. And our obligation is to try and heal the landscape and understand that landscape. And I don't know whether people have seen things around, because we use five senses. We've got five senses. And one of those things is to critically interpret land, waters, wildlife, plants, and collect information using our knowledge through our sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste. We forget all those senses. There's still a cultural divide about understanding what the Australian landscape, which has created a whole level of different biases and ignorances and complacency about how do we treat our country and our land. We're all in it as a part of this process. And the landscape within Sunshine Coast is quite incredible if you look at it for what it is. And having people being generally disconnected from country is really a difficult thing. I try to use, and I don't know whether you're using any of the slides there, Michelle, but one of the slides is that I do in the presentation is of a tree. So we look at a tree as a simple form, and that tree in itself, but that tree is life. That tree is a home for a bird, a bee, possums, grubs, snakes, ants, microbes, and much, much more.
Sorry to interrupt, Ross, but the way that most people are giving their slides, if you didn't send them to me, then you can share yourself. Did you want to go down and share screen, or are you happy to keep going without your
slides? I'm happy to go. Keep going.
Okay, Dale. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, you keep
that's
going.
That's all right. So, you know, a tree is a safe place. It's a resting place. It's a food source for animals and plants, for other plants and microbes. It's a habitat, it's medicine, it's shade, it's water, it's tools and weapons for our people, you know. It's a song. It's the leaves, branches, barks, sap, roots. It's a complex home, just like our landscape is that we live in. And I think one of the critical things that we keep losing is that we're not good at the connecting. We're so disconnected from science. And you know, I'd like to ask Professor Lowe, or even just with this professional panel, are there Indigenous people with their, you know, expertise and knowledge that sit on there? It's like fire management. Fire management is critical to our landscape, and people keep missing the point about fire management. And fire is so critical to country. And until we start to understand what fire and the presence of fire and how it works for plants, animals, and vegetation, right down to the microbes and all to human beings, we will never get back what we hope. And one of the things that I really like, there's a book, it was just recently put out by Victor Stephenson, called Fire Country. And it's an incredible book, and it talks about Indigenous fire management and how that helps. But I think one of the best books that I'm still reading, and it's rather large, is The Biggest Estate on Earth, and that's by Bill Gammage. It's an incredible book, absolutely incredible book. If you want to read something about how Australia operates, how Australia's operated over since white colonisation, even before landscapes and how that works, you've got to read that book. If you don't read that book, you will still be ignorant about how we as a nation need to consider the way we look after and manage country, and how that biodiversity, and what are all those triggers. But having said that, there's many other literature around. I just picked on Bill Gammage because that book is fascinating me big time. But what I'll always like to say as a part of the process is look deep into nature, and then you'll understand everything better. Thanks, Michelle.